Blog Talk Radio.
Good early evening on Sunday. This is a Sunday after American Independence Day in 2014. I'm Gwen Berry. I'm one of your hosts. My co-hosts are Jack Jodell in Minneapolis and Wayne Johnson in Ohio. Are you in Columbus?
No, actually, I'm on the Eastern Shore of Maryland right now.
Okay. Good for you.
Back over in Maryland. Cool.
And it's beautifully sunny and 90 above in Minneapolis today, a rare day. It's very humid, too, and we're enjoying it very much, even though it's humid and we have the air on inside now. But when we go outside, we enjoy the warm temperatures. We don't get them too much.
Yeah, that's true. You're ice fishing territory a long time of the year.
Not year-round, though.
Not year-round. But
that's
I'll bet a myth. I'll bet the greens are greener up there, too.
You're on the eastern part of Maryland, you say, today?
Yeah, I'm about 30 miles from the ocean. We just dodged Andrew. Went out into the ocean right off the coast of North Carolina. So, but we have beautiful weather here.
And you have such beautiful, such great seafood, delicious to eat, and
oh,
so much
right.
of it.
I have been
awesome.
Gorging myself on the legendary Chesapeake Bay blue crab.
Yes, that's so good.
Yeah, crab cakes. Yeah,
very good. Yeah, the best crab cakes are out in your neck of the woods, no doubt about
that's
it.
That's correct. Yeah, we are the quintessential crab meat.
Just like the best Philly cheesesteaks are only found in and around Philadelphia.
Wait. Yeah. Get off here. We got stone crabs down here, guys. I mean, you can't just go throwing off on our stone crabs.
Well, the stone crab is good. I've had my share of them. But according to the gourmets and those in the notes, says Chesapeake Bay blue crab is top dog.
Yeah, I agree. That's very true. They're very, very good. They're both good, but that's a very good one.
I was going to say, I'll give my homage to Florida. Absolutely.
And every part of the country has its own special variety of fish and seafood and or produce of some sort or another. Up here we have walleye, which are found only up in the upper Midwest. It's
I've
a very
had
good fish.
Walleye encrusted in hazelnut. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's very good. You bet. And we also have northern pike, and that's not found down south. It's not found in Asia. It's not found anywhere else but here. So, every part of the country has different things. You have that wonderful, what do you call it now? Well, there's monkfish up in Maine. I like that a lot. There's really good grouper down, I like in Florida. I love that grouper. That's good stuff. Do you ever have that?
Jack, I do not allow anybody to cook grouper in my house. It is high smell and low down.
We're also known for our rockfish or sea bass.
Oh yeah. Now what did you say?
Striped bass. Striped bass is really what it's called.
What were you saying?
We call it rockfish.
We've had a stellar year down here so far. There's an old favorite that has resurfaced. I grew up in the town named after it, the Pompano. Is back along our shores right now, and people are catching up. And the dolphin. Now I'm talking about what we call mahi mahi.
Oh yes,
Not porpoises, but dolphin, true dolphin, which is there's the bullheads and the females, and both are wonderful. And we've had just so many. They swim with the flying fish. Out with the billfish, and there's just been loads and loads of them. All of a sudden, the East Coast is just filled with lots of wonderful fish to pull in. But who knew? Who knew? And I gotta say, Wayne, my favoriteest crustacean, and cold water, the better they are, is the Maine lobster. I had
absolutely.
Absolutely. I'm with you there 100%.
They are sweet,
Maine
so
lobster.
Good. And let's not forget our friends out on the West Coast, Northwest in Alaska. You have that wonderful king crab in season. Boy, there's nothing better than that. And also the beautiful salmon that are very prevalent up there. And even in Canada, you get great salmon as well.
Dungeness crab.
Dungeness crab. I've had that. Very good. Yep.
Yeah. And you made a mention of salmon. I'd like to bring this up. I just heard this here this past week talking about trade imbalances and stuff and dealing with our seafood. We are exporting the wild-caught sockeye salmon.
Okay.
And we're importing from Asia the farm-raised salmon. So we are exporting more of the really good sockeye salmon, but we're importing in the farm-raised salmon.
Bland, crappy stuff out of Asia that's farm-fed. Well, the same way with
and
the tilapia.
You know,
I don't know about your part of the countries, but tilapia is big up here. You know, it's farm-fed fish. It has no flavor whatsoever. Cod blows it away.
Not.
Walleye blows it away. It's just terrible.
Yeah, it's like
and it's not nutritious
trout.
Either.
I like trout a lot. And the farm-fed trout that you get in the restaurants and stuff just isn't up to snuff. It really isn't.
Oh, right. I agree.
But
you take a good freshwater stream mountain trout, there is nothing better than it, too. It's very good.
Yeah.
Breakfast,
very
man.
True.
That's breakfast, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
that's right.
let's not forget the beautiful shrimp they catch in Baja, California, around
well,
in Mexico
Gulf,
and stuff.
Well, it used
and,
to be the Gulf.
Used to be the Gulf, yeah, but now it's Baja, California has a great, beautiful, big, huge, delicious shrimp. And, you know, there's shrimp all over the world, but they're particularly good down there. And they catch them fresh and eat them, and, man, that's a real treat. Man, we've covered a lot of gastronomical delights here.
Industry?
We never know what we're going to talk about on this show.
I was going to say, this program brought to you by American Seafood. That's right, American Seafood Company.
Yeah, that's right.
But it brings up a really important thing, though. It brings up the issue of whether or not we're going to have this beautiful seafood to enjoy and whether or not we should be fishing it, and that's another word for hunting, isn't it?
Right, exactly.
Out of the oceans. You know, I learned a long time ago from one of my teachers how the indigenous people of North America or the Native Americans, they used to hunt. They would communicate through prayer with the animal and ask the animal to provide its heart and body for the goodness or nourishment of the community or the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they would drink the heart blood. That is why they would always kill with one arrow. And they treasured, they cherished their companionship with the animals that surrounded them. And we were talking earlier about this young woman in Texas, a Texas cheerleader is how they've been tired, but she's a 19-year-old young woman, she's still a girl, who posted on, she's a Texas tech.
She's a butcher.
And she's already been tagged as a professional big game hunting advocate by Fox News. Her name is, she posted a bunch of photos of herself lording it over the carcasses of elephants, lions, buffaloes, leopards, and rhino and zebra. And more felines, and then Tucker Carlson has the gall.
No mind.
And call them nuisance animals, that wildlife management and conservation helped by this.
He's so out of it, it isn't even funny.
No, but this young woman has the wrong set of values.
She's destructive.
Incredibly.
And she's very pompous, and she's very self-centered. She has a wrong attitude about the entire process and what she's doing. A lot of those animals are on the endangered species list, or nearly so, and she should watch what she's doing, and she's not. All she's doing is going out there and gloating about it for notoriety's sake. She's as irresponsible as Sarah Palin.
Her name is Kendall Jones, and she's getting, listen, we're giving her airtime. She's getting airtime, and she's being, placated by absolute fools over at Fox. I mean, everybody knows really what kind of bumfuck fools these guys are. And
especially Tucker Carlson.
And Tucker Carlson has got this ship playing behind him while he's talking to this other arrogant idiot who's saying they're nuisance animals, and it's the hunting licenses that are making the most valuable, you know, contribution to revenues for preserves, and that's just absolute bullshit.
Well, what do you expect out of Fox? All they do is lie.
I was going to say, let me give you this example of what the cause and effect thing that nobody's thinking through when they're hunting these animals. I'll give you the example of the wild wolves in Yellowstone Park. When they, the farmers and stuff, the cattle raisers, started eradicating the wolves there in Yellowstone Park, the consequences that they never, nobody ever took in consideration was all the trees, the forestation of the area, went down. It plummeted. They were losing all the natural growth of trees and plant life out there because the elk herds were going out there. They exploded in growth, and they started eating the bark off trees and the young saplings and stuff, so that in the 20-plus years that the wolves were gone, the water quality went down because the trees were no longer filtering the water, and, you know, just the all kinds of environmental, the health of the ecosystem out there plummeted. It's when they started reintroducing the wolves back into the area where they brought them out of Canada and Alaska and stuff, the ones that Sarah Palin didn't get a chance to shoot from a helicopter. All of a sudden, the ecosystem started coming back. The water was getting cleaner because the elk weren't eating the trees. The trees were filling the water, and the mountain trout we were talking about in those streams was coming back. And the consequences of the domino effect of simply removing out the wolves.
Yeah, very good point.
Domino
effect,
and
you know,
killed off everything else. Now,
when
you see them in Africa killing off those, they have no idea what they're doing to the whole big picture.
Yeah, it's just as long as they get their kill, that's all they care about. You know, it's a perfect example of how Mother Earth takes care of itself if it's unimpeded by mankind, you know, by the human race. If we don't get in the way and screw things up, it'll take care of itself just beautifully. It has for millions of years, and it'll restock itself. It'll do all the right things. It'll keep things in perfect balance. We screw up that balance.
There is a great resource for people who are interested, and they're called Deep Green Resistance. You can find them on Facebook. They have their own site, but they educate you about ecosystems and the value of ecosystems and how we are condemning ourselves right now to trash the crust of this planet because we are not allowing ecosystems to have their play. It's like, you know, watching the way that our ancestors cultivated crops in different levels of, you know, tri-leveled areas and rotating crop fields by pyramidal design and all of the different things that our ancestors employed because they learned by experience that they could burn their fields, you know, 3,000 years ago, and here we are doing it the same. But I will say this, there are 4 states, maybe 5 now, that have banned, openly banned GMO crops from their...
Good. Very good. Very good.
It's good. It's another case of think local because, you know, national just frigging doesn't do it for you. Our national leadership is not leading us. It's just cashing in for the corporate entity, and that brings us to Hobby Lobby.
Oh God. What a bunch of phonies those people are.
My hammer's cocked back. Let's go. let's get into this one.
Yeah.
I am broad on the bench here, you know, I mean, this is just another salvo in Aiken, and I don't see this so much as a salvo into the war on women. I see it as a salvo into the war on people and, you know, the greater health of the community. And also, you know, we had this group of guys, sure, they sat around in taverns and got drunk and pissed off about being taxed by a king, and they finally got some money together, and they hit out, and they wrote up a few documents, and in those documents it said that the separation of church and state was paramount to the free independent republic. And basically what the bastards on the Supreme Court just did was say that the original document hasn't got any kind of juice to it anymore. They just allowed religion to take a front seat to people's rights.
Well,
now,
this is a very activist Supreme Court. It's an extreme
Sharia
court.
Now, what stops Sharia law in this country now?
Right.
Well, that's a very good point, Glenn, because, in other words, the Pakistani Taliban, they have their for-profit businesses. That's what helps fund them. And they are against vaccinations, particularly polio vaccinations.
Right.
And right now, I think the major outbreaks of polio are happening in Pakistan, and because they do not allow, and it's children under 2 years old are getting it because for the Sharia law, being vaccinated is against God's will. And right now there's a huge outbreak of polio going on in Pakistan.
And that is so preventable and so terrible.
Would be a 5-4 in this country saying they had the right to do that.
Right.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Also in Ohio. Go ahead, Gwen. I'm sorry.
This is all about politics. It's all about the letter of strategy in politics. This is all this Hobby Lobby case was about. And the the corrupt corporate-owned bastard sitting on the bench.
The extreme court.
The Supreme Court. These guys.
Extreme court.
They just absolutely passed it, opened a doorway here for so much to be cut. I mean, our courts are going to be bottled up. Businesses are going to be shut down. You know,
this is right-wing strategy. This was begun by Lewis Powell, who was viewed as a moderate Supreme Court justice. He was actually very reactionary and a terrible man, and his predictions are coming to roost now, and we're paying the price for them. They're very bad. He wants the extreme right-wing to take over all of the legislative and all of the executive and all of the judicial, as many of them as they can in a country, and exert their influence, and their influence is bad, 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 any way you look at it.
Well, and here's the precedent that they're set. If you're a Jehovah Witness and you own a company, Jehovah Witness don't believe in blood transfusions. So they're going to go there and say, I'm not going to fund any medical thing that allows for blood transfusions. Scientologists don't believe in antidepressants. Medications made from hogs, right?
Good point.
Right now in Ohio, we have a large outbreak of mumps because the Amish sent some of their young adults to the Philippines to testify and recruit and try to bring in more into the Amish religion. But when those kids came home, they came back because they weren't vaccinated. They came home with mumps, and now there's a pandemic within the state of an outbreak of mumps that's over 200 and some cases right now. And they're very concerned about the young kids coming to college that, aren't immune to this or haven't been vaccinated for it. And it's really becoming a problem in Ohio now.
And it's all due to ignorance.
Exactly, ignorance. That's exactly what it is. Pure and blatant ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's
all in the name of God.
It's all gonna decrease the surplus population, isn't it, gentlemen?
Yep.
When you think about it,
and the suffering it causes, it's terrible.
There was another. I don't know if you gentlemen saw this, but this week there was another incident. We know, especially if you keep up with Oso and what he posts and all of the work he's doing out in California, a lot of it has to do with how the police have killed so many people in California in the last few years. Young people.
Yeah, they've been on steroids.
Yeah, it's been incredible. Well, somebody caught took a video of a CHIPS officer. Now, the California Highway Patrol, I've done a lot of traveling up and down the Pacific Coast Highway, and the CHIPS have always been really nice guys and everything. I never heard of them getting anything like this, but they videoed this CHIPS officer pulling an elderly black woman over. She apparently had wandered. Nobody knows whether she had had an accident or what, but she was walking in traffic, and he's pulling her over to the side, and she's apparently agitated or whatever, but the video is of him on top of her on the ground punching her in the face repeatedly.
Yeah, that's uncalled for, and by any reason, that's uncalled for.
It's really
how
horrifying.
Big of a threat was she to merit that?
Really, and I guess
disgusting.
The officer's been put on suspension.
He had to be fired.
Looking into, but according to Osorio, Al Osorio, she apparently was wandering along a freeway on-ramp and was seen coming from a nearby vehicle, but can only speculate, may have had an accident, may have been a homeless person who was just passing by the vehicle, but the CHIP called, and the cop claimed that he was trying to prevent her from entering traffic and being injured, causing an accident, that kind of thing. The savagery.
So he did that by injuring her with his fists.
The savagery.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's not existing, thankfully, because somebody filmed it, which is why cops do not like being filmed in any way, shows the cop was lying.
Yeah, it's called evidence.
Was only having, and this is also talking, but I agree with him, was only having cop fun by beating a defenseless woman who most people wouldn't care about. I mean, you see, when we begin our show today talking about a young woman in Texas who's only 19 years old, who's over in Africa on her father's dime or whatever, or uncle's or mother's, whatever, over there killing animals recklessly like that and then showing off.
And gloating about it.
And gloating over it. And then having something like Fox News take up. I mean,
what do you expect?
The world is
used to be in this country and around the world even, when someone was saying something so ignorant and so blatantly stupid, they wouldn't be given the time of day. But Fox News will prop them up there and say, this person has validity. And it's just, it's
ignorant.
Yeah,
they give credibility to the most bozo people in the world. It's just unbelievable.
Exactly.
Yep. They're, that's Rupert Murdoch's technique, though. He does that just to create sensation and get viewers and to create a controversy. He's a very perverted man. He must sit in his little office all the time around with all his money around him, and he must just get his jollies tee-hee-heeing over the mischief he's caused,
I'm sure he has his dingus in his hand.
He's a knucklehead.
You like that, Gwen? Did I say that well enough? I need a cartoon drawn of that.
Well, literally,
if any of my listeners are good artists, please have Rupert Murdoch
or
surrounded by his money with his dingus in his hand.
Yeah, could very well be.
I think I'll post that. Send it to mindsandtimes@gmail.com.
They're trying to gin up these controversies that shouldn't exist in the first place, and they're trying to praise things that don't need praise and actually should be not even paid attention to by sane people. But they're trying to give nonsense validity, and that's the hallmark of Fox News, and that's why they're not worth a minute of your watching.
I mean,
Jack, it's nothing more than tabloid grocery store tabloid reporting.
Fox News
did not
is the
make
video
sure
National
that,
Enquirer.
Yes, yeah. National Enquirer. That's all he is.
Mm-hmm.
Only he has, and people will quote him as if it's a viable news source with validity.
Yeah.
And it's not.
No, they're not.
It's
they're
no
not
different
news.
Than bad
Fox
boy
so
found in a
news.
Cave.
Fox News, Fox so-called news.
Yeah.
Well, and they put all the most ridiculous things on, but they all seem...
Well, look at, they hired Sarah Palin as a commentator. How utterly ridiculous
is that?
That
one. You beat
God,
me
what
to
a,
it.
What a
exactly.
complete ignorant moron she is.
I, you know, I have this was a little clip. It's actually taken on a snapshot of Michelle Bachmann saying that, you know, Obama's the president's destroying the government, right? We need another good president like Benjamin Franklin in this country, quote, unquote, on Fox News.
That's about it.
This
woman was
a congressman
speed.
And thought Benjamin Franklin had been president of the United States at one time.
I know. It's
and, she, and that's from your neighborhood there, Jack.
Oh, I know. Yeah, she's a real aberration around here.
Yeah, we hold her up proudly.
I'm so glad she's retiring after this term. We couldn't stand much more of her.
I don't think she could have gotten reelected.
She's an embarrassment to the entire country and really to our entire country and definitely to the state.
Absolutely. Yes, she's right. She is an embarrassment because she even made it as far as being a congressman. That speaks volumes of how out of touch. We call them libs, low-information voters.
Right, exactly. Yep.
You know, vote for her and put her in that spot.
Yeah, she'll grab a headline with one soundbite, and oh, she'll ride it to death. And so Sarah Palin does the same damn thing. You know, they both do
the
same thing.
They're all from the same mold. Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. They both eat out of the same cereal box. That's the way, and then they spit it all out. And it's so ridiculous.
I wish I'd thought of that. I love that. Out of the same cereal box.
Yeah, they do. And they spit it out on everybody. And, you know, we don't want it.
That was brilliant. I love that.
Yeah, we just don't like it. It's just, you know, life is too important. And it's too precious to waste time on absolute, utter nonsense and downright lies. And that's all you get from Michelle Bachmann, distortion, erroneous comparisons, erroneous examples, and with Sarah Palin's guilty of the same thing. These people don't know what they're talking about, but they're quoted as if they're knowledgeable people and reliable sources. They're anything but.
Right. And the sad part is, people follow and believe them and think what they're saying is accurate.
That's those low-information voters for you.
There you go, the libs.
Yeah, I know. It's just it's unbelievable that in this day and age, with all the resources we have, the Internet, cable TV with billions of channels, all kinds of stuff, and people actually believe that shit, and they look at it, and they think that it's true, and they don't even go any – they don't even try to investigate themselves any further. It's insane.
Yeah, but
right.
They've been raised to live in fear, you know, to be afraid.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why they cling to it. It's all they know.
Only ants and savages kill strangers, but there's a lot of ants and savages out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you gentlemen been following what's been going on over in Jerusalem?
Sad.
Yeah.
It's just man killing man in the name of God. I can't think of any more
perverse. I know. It's unbelievable. It just takes your breath away, really, doesn't it? It's so needless.
Gwen, there was a program. He was a geneticist, and he did a program called The Journey of Man, where he's going around doing DNA samples and being able to trace the migration of man. Well, he was also in the Middle East there, where we're talking about now, and he did the DNA of Palestinians, Arabs, and the Jews and stuff. There was absolutely no difference in their DNA. They are
Incredible. Incredible.
The only difference is my God's better than your God.
That's what it boils down to. And look at the wars and the misery that's been caused.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, you know,
which gets back to our founding fathers saying the separation of church and state.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I guess that Israel has gone ahead and arrested six Jewish suspects in the abduction and killing of the Palestinian teenager.
Good.
You know, I mean, burned alive, a 16-year-old boy burned alive.
They beat him and then burned him.
Well, and then three Israeli teenagers were kidnapped. And it's just tit for tat now between the youth of those.
Revenge killing.
Yeah, it's revenge
retribution, killing. Retribution killing, right. That's what I'm
and we've discussed this before, but, you know, the last country in the world to produce that type of action should be Israel, because they the reason they came into being in the first place was because they were persecuted no end by the Nazi Germany factions that just deliberately wanted to eradicate them by any means possible, and so a lot of them fled to the Holy Land and to Palestine.
A lot of them are of Russian descent, because the same thing was happening to them in Russia.
Right, exactly. Very true. Yeah.
You know, as soon as communist Russia kind of fell and said, okay, look, if you can get out of here, go. You know, we'll let you go, right? And there was a big migration from Russia. But the same thing was happening to them in Russia.
Exactly, yeah.
The extermination genocide because of their faith. Well,
And you know, they should, and I'm sure those people that emigrated to Israel, I'm sure they're not the guilty perpetrators. But I'm sure it's probably undoubtedly homegrown Israelis that have been there for a long time. I can't speak for sure, but it would seem to me that they would be, because the rest of the people should know better. They've experienced firsthand their own persecution, and they know it's wrong. So why in the hell is this going on in the state of Israel at all? Why are they doing to the Palestinians what they do? You know, it's just insane.
They're considered in their own country, they are considered, these kids who perpetrated this, are considered part of far-right extreme movements going on in Israel.
Right.
I mean,
far-right extreme conservative is wrong?
They're wrong no matter where they're at.
Exactly. And I did a posting on that here in the last couple of days, on that statement.
Very good, by the way. Very, very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, what did you say? Share with us, Wayne. Share with us.
I think the title was Extreme Conservative, by its own definition, is wrong. And I give the examples of Lee Atwater, George Wallace, Asa Carter, who was the speechwriter for George Wallace, in their last days here on Earth, when they had to do a recounting of their transgressions against their fellow man, reached out and asked for forgiveness. Because deep down, at the rudimentary, basic level, they knew that those they were demonizing, offending, and basically hate-mongering about, they reached out and asked for their forgiveness.
And they should have.
And right. Yep. And that's what really extreme conservative is.
I wonder what Carl Rove's deathbed confession
will be. I'm sorry, what was that, Jack?
I wonder what Carl Rove's deathbed confession will be, because he plays by the same game as those fellows did.
Oh, absolutely. Lee Atwater was, Carl Rove is basically taking Lee Atwater's playbook and picking it up and continuing on with it. So, you know, when he has to go, he's about ready to go meet his maker, and if he has any conscience or any true values, he too will be showing remorse of what he has done his whole life just to promote himself.
And the millions of victims that he's caused in the meantime, all of these guys, utterly unconscionable, you know. But that's that type of mentality does that, and there's nothing that we can do about it except to decry it and expose it for what it is.
Show it for what it is, exactly.
Exactly right. Yeah, and that's,
basically my posting was about.
That's why we post. That's why we respond. Exactly, in a nutshell. Exactly. Yep.
Well, there's a little good news out there this week, too.
Go ahead.
Improvements in child and mental health care in the last 20 years since 1990, according to UNICEF, the number of children under the age of 5 dying of preventable diseases each year has plummeted from 2.6 million to 6.6 million in 2012. It saved the lives of some 90 million children.
There you go.
Great.
That's something to be hopeful about, you know?
Now, if we can just raise the living standards of a lot of these poor children – And in our country and around the world, you know, we'll be doing a lot better. The human race does not benefit by having a little tiny minority at the very, very top of the income scale hoarding all the money and all the resources. It does not benefit at all. You know, there's a lot of good work that could be done that isn't being done because people are hanging on to their money and doing absolutely nothing with it except playing power games. There's something radically wrong with that.
And again, it's just another posting this week where I talk about, actually was dealing with the immigration and the crisis of those being brought into, you know, to keep from being brought into the corruption of in Latin America of the gangs, or just simply, you know, the girls being turned into working for prostitution rings and escaping the hunger and the violence coming up into this country. And those that attack them there in California, the Border Patrol buses of women and their children. I talk about the Irish, where in one day, all this food on September the 15th, all this bushels and barrels of wheat and barley and 219 head of cattle and hogs and stuff like this was all sent to England. Meanwhile, the people in Ireland were starving to death.
Just starving to death.
They were
yep.
exporting food massively.
Yeah, I know. It's insane.
And, you know.
It's all
go ahead,
Glenn. A profit, and profit is the evil word. A little bit of profit is fine.
And it's all the 1% who owned all the land. The land barons
right.
of
exactly.
Ireland were
land barons,
forcing
right.
those that were trying to make a living on those same lands were starving to death.
Exactly.
It was called plantation. Is what it was called.
Yeah, well, that's exactly, very good. That's exactly called plantation life.
And I still have cousins who call it the troubles that never ended. But you know, the generosity of spirit and the away from that 1%, I think has to be, we should work in our own communities, act locally. But as speaking of independence, I can only think of no borders and on a global level anymore because my nationalism is gone. I don't retain any. Not in the last like 10 years of what this country has done to the rest of the world. And the rest of the world is out there pulling crap too. But you know what? I grew up feeling that
grew
I
up
was
here.
Right, yeah, right. that I was an American, that an American had a standard of ethics and values that we wanted to share with the world. And I was, of course, I didn't see the forest for the trees. And
well, we were brainwashed into believing that, and we thought it was true. And in the past, it was a little more true than it is today. Today it's just not, it's just completely dominate, get what you can for yourself, and to hell with everybody else. That's what it's turned into.
Yeah,
Jack, let me give you this. This is what was values that this country used to hold up with pride as what our values were. Give me your tard, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free.
Yeah, you put that in your blog,
you
that's
know,
right.
The wretched refuge of your teeming shores. Send these,
right.
the homeless, tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. This is on the base of the Statue of Liberty.
It is.
Yeah.
I've seen it. It is.
And now,
certain
peoples in the Southwest want to erect walls and with guard towers and shoot people coming in.
Well,
that's,
not,
and, you know, that's what the conservative right wing has degraded us all to.
Yeah.
But
go ahead, Gwen.
That's my point, gentlemen. My point is that there's just no payoff in nationalism. The more enlightened people, I think, are thinking in terms of, I want my country to be better, but I don't think my country is going to get much better unless my country is thinking on a more global thought pattern.
I agree. Gwen, I have been all over South America. I have been all over the southern part of Europe. I was in Yugoslavia when Tito was in charge, and I kind of saw firsthand it was a Serb who was basically beat around the head and slapped because he had walked into a Bosnian bar. No, he had come from the wrong side of the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that tension of the Serbs needing to wanting to genocide the Bosnians, vice versa, firsthand when I was a young in my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And my perspective of of traveling the world at that young age, I came back very globally understanding that basically we're all just people.
We're
people who want to raise our children, have families, respect our neighbors, and just try to have a happy and pursue happiness.
Exactly.
Well, we have to think locally. We have to become locally sustainable and share with our neighbors who are the locale next door to us or the locale across the world. You know, we have the ability to do that now, and it just seems as though we need to get closer to that and away from this
exploitation and murdering and insane stuff, you know.
It's this idea of American exceptionalism.
Oh,
it just blows.
It blows big time. Good way to put it.
It really does.
Yeah.
There's nothing good about it. There's nothing of value in it. And all it does is create more ignorance among the,
Exactly.
The ideal
is great. But we don't always work, and most of the time we don't work toward the ideal. We work actually against it, using it as a banner to justify what we're doing, which is not always the same as actually doing the right thing.
Well, Jack, it's been my experience as a teacher and in groups of people in seminar that they want to, when somebody wants to think because they have, let's say, an enlightenment to certain things that the vast numbers of people do not have, they want to think of themselves as being special.
Mm.
And it's like, well, we're special. And it's like, from my perspective, this is how I've always shared in that situation.
Mm.
Everybody has the ability to do what I can do, and many do it better. I'm not special. I'm just contributing. And I'm happy to share because I get to share with all of you. And all of you and you and I share. It goes further and further, and the circle keeps getting bigger. This idea of being special, became in Daughters of Isis, it became a sort of a backward epitaph. Somebody would walk in all almighty because they could do a certain thing, and we go, aren't you special?
Aren't
you special? Everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time, right?
Sure.
It's
self-centeredness is all it is to the need, the idea of being special. By definition, it differentiates you from another, and it supposedly makes you more superior. What a bunch of nonsense!
Right.
Some people have such low self-esteem on themselves. The only way they feel good is that they bring somebody else down.
I know that.
They're making fun of them, ridiculing them, stuff.
You're right.
That's human nature, but that's how they make themselves feel better, is by degrading everybody else around them.
And that's real sick.
It's a sick mind that's doing it, but it's in there.
Yeah.
We have too many leaders in power right now who come from that mindset, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, guys like, you can say he's not in office, but he's still wielding a lot of power. That's Dick Cheney.
Absolutely. He is the poster child for that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, if you put a poster up of Dick Cheney, and put, all of the little ball spheres around him of everything that has happened because of his choices within a position of power, let alone that I would give him a lot of responsibility for what happened in the BP oil spill. I would give him greatest responsibility for what has happened to, like, women service women who have been raped and abused.
And then convinced not, strongly suggested that they don't talk about it.
The whole
implosion of the Middle East.
Right.
Yeah,
you can be
exactly.
Right at the
what a disaster. No, that man is despicable, and he belongs in a jail cell, awaiting his ultimate fate for the war crimes he's committed.
Exactly, he needs to be right up there in the Hague.
Yes,
and that's
with Milosevic and the others.
That's the kind of a poster that should be out there saying, "This is American exceptionalism."
I like that. Very good.
That is the idea, because people seem to take to posters and artwork. I mean,
art is a
very expressive communication tool.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it's the forerunner of evolution and revolution. So
exactly.
Cave paintings in France was basically wall art.
Yep.
And it's the very basics of man's communication at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it plays very well today.
Graffiti. Yeah.
Graffiti. I love it. Like Banksy. Yeah, I love
Banksy. They ought to have a portrait of Dick Cheney on cat scratching posts and on fire hydrants for dogs to lift their legs on.
Yes, that's right. With his dingus in his hand.
Exactly.
I'm back. I'm a full circle again. Here again.
You know.
Okay. Well, okay.
I want to regress for just a moment. I just had the thought about we were talking about earlier about the various seafood and the risk we're running of running out of it, perhaps due to overfishing and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Look at Eastern Canada. Seafood used to be a major industry in Eastern Canada. They used to catch it. They used to process it. Not anymore. It's all fished out. Even the lobster, which used to crawl up on the beaches of the Eastern United States, all over Maine, used to crawl up on the beaches. Not anymore. They got to go way out now to get that lobster, because we've overfished it and we've just spoiled it. So. We've got to be careful, and fish farms.
A fisherman in the Chesapeake Bay can really, that has devastated the seafood industry. The oysters are gone.
Yeah.
The crabs are, can wane and ebb, by the seasons and stuff. But even when it's in low, they'll over-harvest them.
Right.
They actually complain when they put restrictions on them, saying, don't take all the female crabs. You need the eggs for next generation.
Exactly.
That's the government just, trying to ruin me and put me out of business. No, you're doing that all by yourself. We're trying to, drive it into your head. You can't overfish your resources.
Well, and, the nice thing about way in the west in Alaska, when they do the both salmon and the crab fishing, they're very, very careful about the limits that they allow, because they don't want to have the supply completely gone, and they're doing it very sensibly.
Well,
very good. Well, and that should be a model for the rest of the country.
It should be too. I agree.
And the world.
They're also, the western fisheries are now having to measure with rads. You know what I'm talking about,
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that's a shame. Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah, from Fukushima.
Baby, it's still blowing over there. They still done nothing about it. Can we say Fukushima?
Good God, how terrible.
Oh, geez.
But breaking news.
All those that said, we need more nuclear reactors and stuff, and it's like, fine.
No.
You can have your own Fukushima in your backyard. Don't put it in mine.
Yeah, keep it out. Keep it. We don't need.
Right,
let's
and don't
stay
bring
anti-nuclear.
Downwind for me.
Let's stay anti-nuclear.
Yeah, for me.
Yes, it's a great source of energy, et cetera, but there are far too many risks. It imperils our existence as a species on this planet, along with all the other existing species, too. It's a bad, bad thing to be involved in. We can't have
any more
nuclear
development.
When the news
was hitting on the Fukushima plant and all the radiation and contaminated water just flowing straight into the ocean with every crescent wave, and people were saying how horrible it was, I pointed to them and said, you got the same thing potential right now in Southern California. They knew it was built on an earthquake fault when they built it. They went ahead and did it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're going to have, it's not if, it's when it happens in this country.
Well, you know, it's the old adage that the cheapest way is the best, but it's not always the best. Sometimes you've got to invest a little more money in something that's more studied, something that's a little more safe than just grabbing the quickest and cheapest thing. That's not always the best course to follow. Unfortunately, very few of us take that course.
It's crazy.
Well,
a nuclear weapon,
at least
the shelf life of about 3 years, guys. It's insanity. Nuclear energy is just insanity. Period.
It is.
Period.
I
did want to mention there is some breaking news right now. I just saw it go across on Huffington, and more than 60 of those Nigerian girls that have been kidnapped by the in Africa have escaped.
Mm-hmm. They have. Thank goodness
they have been saved.
Fantastic. They escaped their captors, and this
I
is
hope they get somewhere safe quickly.
I was going to say. And for every man out there listening across the country who has daughters, he can at least have a sigh of relief. And for the fathers of those daughters in that country.
Yeah.
You know, never for the grace of God go I.
Yeah. Well, gosh only knows what's going to happen with all
this. Well, this human slavery is insane anyway. You know, it's still prevalent in the world today, and it's hush hush, but it's still going on.
It happens here. It happens.
Oh yeah.
Well, white slavery. You know what they used to call white slavery.
Yep.
Or how about economic slavery?
Oh yeah.
You know.
Well, the Koch brothers
I'm not making enough to feed my family.
Right.
I'll work two jobs. But, you know, I'm still not making enough to feed and clothe and, you know, put a roof over my head because someone else says I wasn't valuable
living.
And worth it.
It's feudalism. We're returning
to
feudalism.
I wasn't making a cost of money. Right.
We're returning to feudalism. It's terrible.
Exactly.
And the Koch brothers and the big rich industrialists are all pushing us in that direction, and they're scooping off all the profits for themselves, and they're leaving us with a little tiny remnant, and that's not the way it's supposed to go.
I was getting my haircut here on Wednesday, back home here, and there was an older guy, and he kind of looked familiar to me, and I asked him if I knew him, and he said, well, that he'd worked at the DuPont Nylon plant here in Seaford, Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him if he knew a couple people that I know that had worked and retired from there, and he said no. And I said, well, you know that old DuPont plant is now owned by the Koch brothers. Yeah, I heard that, right? And I said, well, I'm not a fan. Well, he got offended that I said that I wasn't a fan of the Koch brothers.
Yeah, well,
so what did I do
he's
to be kind and generous? I looked at him very sternly and said, I am not a fan.
Well, he's a LIV if I ever heard one, because he has no
there you go. There you go. Right.
The
no, he was listening to all the Rush Limbaughs and stuff. And,
all the idiots on talk radio that don't know a damn thing are doing the bidding of the Koch brothers is all they're doing.
The employment wages, of course, they just filled it with, the Latino immigrants that have come to this country. They drove the price down from $25 an hour that used to be paid to the employees were there down to minimum wage, $7.50.
Oh, that's disgusting. Yeah.
And
where's the differential going?
That's what the Koch brothers bring to here. Take a man who was making $25 an hour, who could afford a car, a house, build his family, all this stuff, brought in the lowest common denominator of the workforce, those trying to make a good life, not only for themselves, but more especially for their children in the future, and drove the wages down to $7.50 an hour, where basically they're on government assistance while they're working a 40-hour week.
And they'll lie and they'll talk about, we have to do that because, but it's not anything. It's all they want to do. They're greedy. They want to take it all the rest for themselves. And that's what they're exactly what they're doing.
Well, how do you think Koch brothers are funding all these other lunatic fringes?
Oh, yeah.
All their mandates and stuff. They're taking the money out of these people's mouth and giving it to Walker up in Wisconsin.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, all these knuckleheads. You know, LePage in Maine, all these guys. And Schneider in Michigan. They're out there.
Yeah.
Kasich in Ohio. There you go. They're all out there, and they're all recipients of this very evil money.
Right.
Ill-gotten money.
I wonder if any of you have seen this week the latest effort by anti-environmentalists what they're doing in this country, the ones who have the double-stacked trucks. Have you seen them blowing the coal?
No.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Koch brothers are behind it, though.
Deliberately.
Are we talking about the wobble wagons?
Basically, hang on, I will tell you about it. It's called rolling coal. It's a political protest. The anti-environmentalists are now rolling coal, and what they do is truck enthusiasts are intentionally producing copious amounts of diesel exhaust, spewing black smoke into the air as a form of political protest. It's called rolling
coal.
What
a bunch of idiots. What a bunch of idiots.
Yeah. They spend thousands of dollars altering their trucks to produce even greater amounts of smoke.
Oh,
and
that's
just
to what
ignorance.
End? What are they
that
going to achieve by doing
ignorance.
That is pure ignorance. You couldn't possibly be any dumber.
Yeah. And they
back
up with rare exhausts like that. They will back up to little cars that, you know, they think are giving them a hard time and just blow smoke all over them. Mm-hmm. There's videos of it all over.
Aren't they tough? Aren't they big guys?
They're
real
tough. Aren't they so clever? Yeah.
What a bunch of ignorant cowards.
It's unbelievable what people
But it's typical
do.
Of that mindset.
Well,
those people are so damn
I know
dumb.
In Maryland.
And all they care about is themselves.
If a state trooper in Maryland saw a truck taking off and spewing all that kind of carbon black aspects over it, he would be pulled over, given an inspection notice, because, you know, basically to give himself a person to get a tune-up on that truck. Now they're doing it intentionally to blow it out. Look, basically what it is just unburned fuel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
that's
a pollutant. It's a pollutant and
ignorant.
It's not good. And it doesn't belong in the air. It belongs, you know, nowhere.
And, you know, the thing is, do these people realize they're breathing that exact same air?
They don't care.
All the pollution and stuff is going into their lungs. The rise of asthma in children in these areas that aren't environmentally controlled has skyrocketed.
Oh, they'll find a way to blame it on some liberal or something. You know, they always got an excuse.
And Fox
for
News will broadcast it as being true.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Well, guys, we are at the top of the hour again, and I want to thank.
We're 1 year older now, folks, in this country. Let's start acting like it. Let's keep pushing forward. Let's make sure that the word gets out there about good progressive causes that will benefit the human race rather than detract from it. Let's not fill the pockets of already rich people any further. Let's get this wealth redistributed fairly and objectively, and let's make a commitment to do that from this point onward. We're too old of a country to be playing around like little children anymore, and we've got to grow
very
up from
good
that.
Very good, Jack. And I'll tell you what, and I'll close with an Independence Day message. Can you visualize how much our founding fathers would have accomplished if they had to deal with the corporate influence money that we have in this country today?
Oh, yes.
They would still be trying to work on the Constitution.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
That's my message for this week.
Basically, they cut us away from the corporation, even though the corporation was called King George.
Right. Exactly.
But here you go. There you are. Wherever you go, that's where you're at. You know.
Well, Jefferson and Madison, they didn't like corporations. They wanted to see them strangled.
Well, Jefferson's quote says, a merchant has no loyalty to anything other than the ground he's making, he's standing on right at the moment that he's making his profit. That's what Jefferson said about the 1% back then, 200 plus years ago, and it's still true today.
It is, sure is, you bet.
As an independent little merchant, I have to say to you, gentlemen, not everybody works from that.
Oh, absolutely.
And
we
applaud
you
for that.
You know that I'm not talking about the little, I'm just trying to make a living. I'm talking about the mega corporations like Monsanto or GE or, you know, things like that that have no loyalty to this country at all.
Okay. All righty.
Well, tell us who we're sponsored by, Gwen, and we'll get off the air here.
we're sponsored by Round7.com. That's the number 7. And DaughtersOfISIS.com. Take a look in both directions. There's something for you there. And we thank you for listening to us. This has been the Sunday Show with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and myself, Gwen Berry. We'll be back next Sunday. And thank you for listening. This is the end of the show.
Thanks.
Good to be with you again.
Take care, Gwen.
Yep, keep pushing forward, and we'll look forward to a nice little observation on independence with David Williams and others next week.
There you go.
Very good.
Well, very good. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you again. Bye-bye.